Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, I want to immediately go to the Bible story here. This a Florida man was accused of hitting a Walgreens store manager with a Bible on Easter Sunday, taking the phrase Bible thumper to a whole new level. Nobody laughed. It's all right. This dude, sadly, why would you? First off, it's in a Walgreens, and I'm trying to pull this story up, and everything is just not wanting to work. Because Safari, guess what? Safari's horrible. This story, though, this guy was accused of hitting this Walgreens store manager and ended up, that's like a assaulter. I think it's a base. That's an assault charge. I can't get this story up, so we're going to move over. For some reason, it's not wanting to get it. I'll come back to it. Apologies, but sometimes it's not my fault. A Florida man impersonating a T-Mobile worker climbed down after disconnecting objects. He was literally on the, I don't want to say on the pole, but he was on the pole. He was on the pole, and he was
hard times
disconnecting objects from the cell tower in Miami. He doesn't look to I'm looking at the photo. It doesn't look like he has a harness or anything on either. And he was tearing clamps and other stuff off. And it was 7 a.m. The cell phone company called the police because they found out this guy was impersonating an employee and they brought him down. It took him. He didn't come down till 11. He was up there. They saw him around 7.
He actually invited an actual cellular worker up there to see the view with him.
Yeah. They said, well, the negotiating team is talking with him. The sirens prompted a real T-Mobile worker to be dispatched. The T-Mobile worker gets to the scene and he goes, he notices somebody's on the tower and he goes, and then the guy on the tower starts talking about God and asks the worker, please come see the view with me. One of the onlookers said, it's crazy. He's like Spider-Man. He threw things down. He didn't listen to officers. And then finally, one of the guys was yelling, those great boxes, those are hot. Yelling that out there to him. So finally he came down. He thanked the first responders. And then he had to go to the pokey because, you know, you can't be doing that. You cannot be. Yeah, you can't be climbing up. And that is kind of wild, though, that you could just that he was able to get up there. It's not secured. I actually haven't thought about that, and I feel bad that I haven't thought about it yet.
Manually shut it off. So
yeah. So this guy, what ended up happening? This Florida man, different source, because this I couldn't get this website to open. He hit a Walgreens manager in the face with a Bible on Easter Sunday. Man, that guy just needs to shave the rest of his hair off. It's not going out so well for him. Clearwater Beach, Peter Owens, 35, felony battery after the incident. Why is that not assault? Battery, but apparently it was a fight over Cheez-Its. Are you serious? $5,000 bond. He was released.
Hello. Thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/R-A-D-I-O, radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Did y'all see this morning? Let me share with you this headline. New York Post. Get ready. DOJ demands prison time for Ashley Biden diary thief. Yeah. So the Justice Department has asked a New York district judge to sentence the woman who they claim stole first daughter Ashley Biden's diary to 4 to 10 months in prison for the crime. What? Is it stealing, though? They want prosecutors for U.S. Attorney's Office. They wanted initially a sentence of 6 months of home confinement, 3 years of supervised release for Amy Harris, who pled guilty in August. She conspired to commit interstate transportation of stolen property in connection with diary theft. Diary theft is a felony, don't you know? Thou can't steal a diary. This woman is my age. She is my age years old. Get your life together, Ash. Oh my gosh. She left her weirdo diary in a flop house. That's how it was initially reported. She left it behind in a dirty mattress at a flop house. Maybe it wasn't dirty. You know, I'm just, you know, still. And apparently this lady got it, and then it went from there, right? But it's not, how is this like a felony to the point of you get 10 months in prison? The same people who told you that the laptop wasn't real told you that the diary wasn't real. I talked to James O'Keefe about this. I've known James for a long time when he was in South Lake at a fundraiser where I live. And we had this conversation. And he was like, this woman just, you know, offered it to us. And he was the one, they like reached out to law enforcement because they thought, oh, wow, this is really real. And there was like stories of sexual abuse in this. This is where President Daddy Showers, the name comes from. She literally writes in her diary about how she, when she was, what, 13 years old, she was showering with her dad. Guys, that's weird. Maybe that's why Hunter's so messed up. I don't know. This is weird. We're not making this up. She wrote this. She wrote these things in her own hand. And then there's video of her, audio of her, audio soundbite 17. She admits in a recording that it's her diary. Listen to this.
Hi, is this Ashley Biden?
This is she. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I just wanted to, so I heard you have a few of my belongings. And so I was going to ask if you could please meet my friend, Eric, who is down in Delray, if you could meet him and get this up to him.
There's a diary here. It starts in January. It says, January, at the end of a New York month, I'm sitting on a bed at the I building.
Yeah, so if you could just give everything that you have to Eric, that would be really great.
I don't want to give this to the wrong person. I mean, I want to make sure...
At this point, and I don't mean to... I don't want to have to get Secret Service involved in this, right? Because it just is, it's a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am Ashley Biden. It is my stuff. So if you could just skip all of that over, I would really appreciate it. I know you sent a picture to my husband with a camera and a few other things that are mine as well. So that would be really great. Where is a good place for him to meet you?
There's also this bag with luggage tags on it. And so is that bag, because there's all this stuff. Is that bag yours too, Ashley?
Yes, it is.
So it's her. She says that's her. That's her. Her diary, and in her diary she writes in pages 67-68, quote, I was so afraid of him coming into the shower with me that I waited until late at night to take a shower. That's when she was 16. There is another page where she asked, hypersexualized at a young age, what does this do to, was I molested? I think so. I can't remember specifics, but I do remember trauma. I remember not liking the Woolzak's house. I remember somewhat being sexualized with Caroline. I remember she's talking about friends at a young age, showers with my dad, probably not appropriate, being touched when I wasn't supposed to be. This was all the stuff that she was like writing in her diary. And then Snopes was like, no, there's no evidence that she said she feared her dad was like, and then like side by side comparison. Snopes was saying there was no evidence. And then here's literally the handwritten diary. And people were saying one of the examples or one of the excuses the left was giving is, oh, well, it was probably forged. Do you mean forged in the middle of the diary in her exact handwriting as all the other stuff in the diary? Shut up. That's so lame. This is the stuff that she wrote in her diary. This is so goofy. And she left it behind in a flop house. And so they're not concerned about going after the person who she's talking about. Apparently they want to go after the person who found her diary, didn't steal it. When you leave it behind, you abandon it. No one stole it from her. She left it, just like no one stole Hunter Biden's laptop. He left that. He left that at the repair office. No one stole it. These people are ridiculous. So they are arguing that it's her diary and that apparently there's got to be some kind of prison time for this person. This Amy person that they said stole this, who didn't actually steal the diary. Remember how they said, Amy Harris is her name. Remember how they said that it wasn't her diary and they were acting like it was a no big thing? Why does she have to get the Secret Service involved is what I'm curious about. Why does she feel like she has to threaten to get the Secret Service involved? You're a drug addicted 40-something year old woman who does not have her life together and is leaving, you know, very personal items like your flipping diary and a mattress. That's your responsibility. Why is it that the Bidens don't have any kids that are not liabilities? Every single one of these kids have exposed these two. At some point, the common denominator here is Joe and Jill's parenting. You have two kids who are drug addicted. Two kids who like to share way too much, whether it's video diary or written diary. They can't keep track of their belongings. They think everything that they leave or everything that they do or every situation in which they put themselves is somehow the fault of everybody else. Everyone else did this to them. So this woman who found this diary because this drug addict first daughter left it behind, they're threatening her with jail? Why don't you talk to the president of the United States who's being named as taking showers with his teenage minor daughter? Why don't you talk to him? Or maybe have a talk with your 40-something-year-old daughter who apparently doesn't hold a steady job and can't stay off dope. Maybe talk with her. Maybe Joe and Jill should have curbed their ambitions for elected office just a little bit and raised their damn family. Maybe they should have raised their kids instead of trying to raise his profile. Maybe they should have raised their kids instead of trying to raise their chances of getting into the White House. No wonder the country looks the way it does right now. Have you seen their home? Have you seen their family? And yes, it is absolutely fair. When you sign up to run for the highest office in the land, by God, you're going to be judged by every measure available and how strong as a father figure you are, how good of a parent you are. Because if you can't keep your kids in line, how do we expect you to keep anybody else in line? Get real. They don't enforce anything at home. They don't set boundaries at home. So that's why you don't see anything forced at large in the United States or anything enforced here. Good grief, their dogs couldn't even stop biting people. This is ridiculous. But doesn't it seem that way? Why Democrats apparently don't want to have that conversation. When you see kids that turn out this way, up until a certain point, it's the kid's fault, right? The child chooses, especially when they're 40-something years old, they choose their path in life. But don't you think it's weird that, I don't know, maybe we would have known something about this with Bo. Who knows? They kept that all under wraps until Joe was running for the White House. But it's kind of odd that you have all, you know, there are kids that are all dealing with this situation, right? And the fact that Bo's widow, like, had this relationship with Hunter and was like as depraved as he was to an extent does make me wonder about Bo's character. I mean, I would wager that they were all like this. So then you have to ask, what's the common denominator here? It's the parenting. As we move our partners that bring you free radio, our friends over at Kel-Tec, the new Sub 2K Gen 3 is shipping now, made in Florida, American-owned, American-made. And a lot of new additions, a lot of upgrades on this. It's the 9mm carbine from Kel-Tec Sub 2K. And the Gen 3 means that you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half. Simple twist and fold motion of that patent-pending rotating forend in either direction folds that Gen 3 right in half, and it will just as quickly and easily deploy it, optics and all. Now, in addition to that upgrade, there's the upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics for a lightened pull that translates into improved accuracy. And obviously, that means, you know, more precise feedback for clean, clean shots. Upgraded action, you got a redesigned operating handle, added comfort, means, you know, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, lightened action for easy racking, new chamber indicator. And this made in America, Kel-Tec family, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub 2K, Sub 2000 Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Key Bridge collapse sites, the second channel has opened amid recovery discussions. I saw a video of this little tugboat just, you know, little boot scooting there across the bay, getting a ship out. That was kind of a little cute little ship, little cute little tugboat. But anyway, they said one key point that they that was made. The second channel is running through the river. The Key Bridge collapse. They said that shut down the Port of Baltimore. It's been a full week. They were able to get a ship through. That was the tugboat I was just, you know, adorably talking about. A little adorable tugboat. But they said that they're still working to try to reopen the deep draft channel. They said that's their number two priority is to remove the dolly from the channel and continue to work on that. They have divers still that are surveying around the ship. The cargo ship's owner is trying to limit liability, saying they shouldn't be held responsible for any damages. They've already asked a federal judge, though, if in fact they are, to put a cap on those damages, not to exceed the value of the ship, which they say is just over $43 million, to which I say nosies. No, sirs. That's inexcusable. No. A balding fugitive has asked the police to stop mentioning his receding hairline in wanted posters. This is so very British. It's in Britain. It's Avon and Somerset Police. And Daniel Kellaway told the police there that there's no need to mention the hairline after the force appealed for his whereabouts. They described the 29-year-old as white, about 5'9", of average build, with brown eyes and receding brown hair. Not liking this brutal but accurate description, Mr. Kellaway replied, "I'm heading to Turkey to get it sorted, and then we'll catch up." He's wanted over apparently driving offenses, criminal damage, and threatening behavior. Yeah, he totally does have a receding hairline. I mean, I'm not going to say anything about his ears. Yeah, don't mention it. He gets very upset. There's some insane. Did you guys see the videos? Taiwan had two back-to-back earthquakes. One was like a 7.5, one was a 7.4. Insane videos have emerged from this massive earthquake from Taiwan. It looked, I mean, it really did look like an apocalypse thing. And there's worries now as well that the quake could plunge the global smartphone industry into chaos, as the world's largest chip maker, they're responsible for 90% of the supply. They've halted operations as they assume cleanup and recovery. Just crazy. Sleeping Beauty, apparently at Disney, got a boob job. Yeah, there's jokes that she's going to start an OnlyFans. It's a Sleeping Beauty attraction at the theme park resort in the Netherlands, Disney Princess.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Because the climate crisis is not a result of natural disasters, it's actually man-made. It's a result of...
I'll say it again, because I think they missed it.
The climate crisis is man-made. And it's not just man-made, it's white man-made.
Why is she wearing a tablecloth? What's her problem? It was hard to understand this audio. She's mad because of what? She's saying that it's something what? Kane?
White men.
What's her problem with them? Climate change? She thinks she's a climate advisor.
So I think in her mind...
She's not a meteorologist.
She believes that the Industrial Revolution is what brought upon this man-made pollution that has caused this man-made.
She can go back to the Stone Age then. The jurisprudence probably of the country of her forefathers, you know, pretty much goes along with that timeline anyway. So go ahead and go back to it.
And then you have a virtue signaling audience where she throws in, you know, obviously the Industrial Age was brought upon us by white men. So
the irony of this chick, all made up, sitting there at an event railing against apparently white dudes, blaming them for causing climate change because of industrialization, when she benefits from industrialization by way of sitting there wearing the clothes that she wears, the makeup that she wears, espousing the beliefs that she wears, that she espouses, because they're entirely shaped by her experiences as the result of industrialization, is one of life's great ironies. And she sits there dumb as a box of rocks and acts like, and she has a smug face after she says it, like she said something really tough. Good grief.
Well, these are the days of the United States.
No wonder men are staying single longer, because when you have that type of intelligence in, amongst women, I would too if I was a dude. Good grief. I'd be worried that my kids would come out even dumber than the previous generation. Good heavens. I can't stand that stuff. I can't stand it. I can't. White dudes cause. Oh, but white dudes cause climate change. White dudes built volcanoes? Do you know how much CO2 spit into the air every single time a volcano erupts? Oh, wait a minute. No. Where is she from? Out of curiosity. Let me look something real
question.
Quick. Good question. What is a climate advisor?
She's from a sheltered and uninformed life.
Clearly. Oh, she's Pakistani-American. Oh, she's from Pakistan. So if it wasn't from the industrialization that led to the United States being the superpower that it is, you wouldn't be able to be American Pakistani, and you wouldn't be able to enjoy the education that was built upon the foundation of the industrialization of the United States. So all the things that she's bitching about are things that she also coincidentally takes advantage of here. So if she really believes everything that she's saying, she will sit here and denounce her education and go back to her country of origin and not have anything to complain about. And you can live in peace and harmony if that's what you think that you're going to have there. Go ahead. Be my guest. We'll help pay for the flight.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.